Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Talking about heritage, talking about ethnicity, or whatever the word is, as I mentioned earlier, we got into a conversation on air yesterday, and I've just started noticing the word ethnic creeping into conversation. Ethnic, African, Africanicity, well, that's the whole, that's an ABSA word. But is it because South Africans don't have a language to use that they feel comfortable with? Is it a form of racism because we sort of can talk about ethnic or African, but we don't use the word black? I don't know. It's very, very confusing. And I don't have the answer to it, which is why we've called in the experts. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But Professor Nyasha Mboti, Associate Professor and Head of Department of Communication Studies at the University of the Free State. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing? Professor, can I just ask you, it's not that clear a line. Can you, let's just try that again. You can talk maybe closer to your mic. Let's see if that works better.
All right.
Yeah, that is much better. I can already hear. So let's
get... Right. I hope it's better. The line is clearer.
Right. Yes, no, it's clear for us now as well. So give us your thoughts on this. Let's start with the very basics. Do you think that South Africans, and I think in many cases white South Africans, are nervous in terms of their, maybe rightfully so, because language has been used many over years as a form of oppression and a form of abuse. But how are we managing as we transition?
So I think for me, you know, ethnicity is a minefield, particularly in a context as South Africa's. But you see that it's a minefield anywhere in the world, in any country, because the idea of nationhood is tied to ethnicity. But then at the same time, the idea of nationhood is all about belonging. And you know that belonging is about who is in and who is out. So ethnicity becomes a criterion for inclusion as well as exclusion. So wherever you go, ethnicity is not just innocent. Ethnicity is intertwined with ideology, it's intertwined with politics, and it's never an innocent process. Mm. So it's not just about language. It's about ancestry, it's about beliefs, it's about practices as well. And it's very easy in a history like South Africa, where the history is generally one of domination and colonialism and apartheid, you find out that ethnicity played an important role in the inclusion-exclusion debate. So it was quite easy when you are in power, and even today it's also still quite easy, to exploit and manipulate ethnicity for purposes of power. So from the very beginning, the idea those who were in power, and it was the white power structure, was to take certain elements of ethnicity that they wanted and then to fix them and then to say, this is what you guys are. So the idea of tribes, for instance, comes from that. And I will use tribes in quotation marks because tribalism is something that those in power invent. They see certain characteristics, then they fix them and say, oh, this is what you are. So in South Africa, you find out that if you go to a place like Soshanguve, people think Soshanguve is some African language. It's not. Soshanguve is actually how ethnicity was fixed around particular so-called tribes. So in Soshanguve means Sotho. Sha is Shangani. Ngu is Fonguni, which was for Zulu and Xhosa. And Ve is Venda. So that is apartheid that is creating compartments in that particular township according to so-called ethnicity. Mm. So if you go to Soshanguve, you are going to particular blocks of so-called ethnic groups that have been put there by power to live in their own isolation. You go to Limpopo, there's another town called Sovenga there, another township. Again, it's Sotho, Ve for Venda and Nga for Shangani. The reason I'm bringing this up is to show you that it's very easy in South Africa to divide on the basis of so-called shared cultural characteristics, such as language, tribe, and so on. And so it's a very dangerous territory to try to use ethnicity as a way to identify people, because while at one point it can affirm and bring about unity, it can easily spread into something that is very difficult to control, because from the very beginning, the idea of ethnic identity has always been fixed by those in power and then used to say, oh, this is what
it's
you
so
are.
It's so interesting because, sorry, Professor, I'm interrupting you, but in fact, the maybe why it's bothered me, and you've actually helped me refine my thoughts, why it's bothered me is the word, you know, ethnic music and ethnic culture is often used from the outside in. And what that does is it just groups cultures, people, in a way that makes the user of the word comfortable, maybe, because but it's their own determination of what so-called ethnicity actually is. And in a way, what you're saying by breaking it down into the so-called tribes that you've mentioned, and the way the old South African system imposed that, does exactly that. So when we talk about when people talk about something being ethnic, it's often from the outside in, which is an imposition. Would you agree with that?
I would actually agree with that, because it's about power. You know, ethnicity is tied in with power. Like I said, it's about belonging. Mm. It's about seeing characteristics and saying this person belongs. So if you look at the idea of, for instance, let's say being Zulu, it is like all other forms of ethnicities, tied up with invention, right? The whole idea of being Zulu, the whole idea of being Sotho and so on, these are inventions. There's an article which is very important, which people should read, by philosopher Archie Mafeje, called The Invention of Tribalism, which speaks to many of the themes we're talking about, the invention of tribalism. But you see that before Shaka, there was actually no such thing as Zulu, right, before King Shaka, because King Shaka is the one who welded together disparate clans into one nation that he called the Zulu nation. So before that, there was no Zulu. So you can see that, you know, the whole idea of ethnicity is an invention, is a useful invention, but can also become a dangerous invention. But when we talk about the term, let's say the term Black South African, right, as an element of ethnic identification, for me, and this is a very strongly held position, the term for me, Black South African, for me is an insult, because the term only gained currency after 1994. Before that, Africans were just called Africans, or when referred to derogatorily, they were called Bantus or natives. So if you remember the history of this country, you know that before the 1990s, South Africa was a European country, if you want, a white country. Mm. There were no black citizens of South Africa. Black people only lived as temporary sojourners in townships or in so-called independent states. So only with democracy, or those were the Bantustans, only with democracy did Africans become South African. So this is when the contentious word Black South African came into use. But before that, people didn't use Black South African. They were either just called Bantus or natives or citizens of Bophuthatswana, Gazankulu, KwaZulu Natal, or sort of KwaZulu, and so on, of these homelands. So for me, you have to take it to the issue of what does Black South African mean, right? And I really do not like the use of the term Black African. For me, it's just African. You know, you cannot refer to a Chinese as an Asian Chinese. it is normal that the Chinese are Asian.
Yeah,
you do not also refer to European Germans or to French Europeans. Because Germans and French are normatively European. Black and African, for me, are interchangeable, you know. All black people are normatively African. It is people who are not normatively African who must carry this hyphenated identity.
It's true. So, in other words, maybe it needs to be that somebody who is a black person is, as you say, normatively African, but somebody like me who might have been born for a number of generations, after a number of generations in South Africa, could be a white African. That would
Yes, exactly. That, you are an African, but then you are the one who must carry a hyphen.
Exactly. We need to own the hyphen. Not. I love this. This is exactly why we asked you to come into the show, because you're helping me clarify an approach to it. Because it's. I knew that there was just something wrong with how we're approaching this, but this makes sense. This makes absolute sense. So in other words, somebody who is African is normatively a black person, but a white person who considers themselves African is a white African.
Yes, the same way you have an Afro-British person in Britain,
yes.
You see a black person,
right.
You know that person is African somehow. They might be from the Caribbean, if they went there as a slave, Jamaica or wherever, but you know that they are normatively African. So white people in Africa should be referred to using a hyphenated identity. Let's say something is European South African or a European Zimbabwean or a European Kenyan. You know, this was actually the case before 1994. Whites in South Africa were called Europeans. So the hyphenation, absolutely. So
Yeah, no, that's absolutely perfect. Unfortunately, we are out of time. In fact, we've already gone over time, but I wanted to continue that conversation. Professor Nyasha Mbothi, Associate Professor and Head of the Department of Communication Studies at the University of the Free State.